got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Let's go, baby. We in here. Y'all know what it is. Flashback Friday. It's been a long morning for your boy already. Let's get started with something right here.
Usher Raymond.
Starting this Friday the right way. Starting this Friday the only way we can. What is good, loved ones? Welcome in here to the Friday, September 20th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Oh, boy. We're going to have some Sacramento mentions today, boy.
It's going to be good, man. I wish I could be there with the WWE fans. It was great to be around so many of them out at Cricket Wireless today. Cricket Wireless and WWE do such a magnificent job of managing these appearances. Mm. Well over 500 people came out to see Bayley this morning.
Wow.
And man, in a tough parking lot with the store in kind of a tough spot in terms of forming a line, They did a magnificent job of making sure the Starbucks drive was clear. They did a fantastic job of making sure everybody who got in line got to see Bayley. Mm. And I just can't help but marvel at the way Cricket Wireless and WWE does that. So it was fantastic to meet so many of you today. Really fantastic to be out there. First person I saw was Johnny G. He was like, I can't do this. I didn't know there was going to be this many people. And he was on his way out as I was trying to get in there, and had a great time, man. A really, really great time. And you talk about marveling at something. It's impossible to not marvel at what we saw from Shohei Ohtani yesterday. With one of the most historic performances, maybe the most historic performances we've ever seen in the history of Major League Baseball. I was so confused when the show ended, the sports show ended, ESPN was done. We watched 50 together as a family. And then like 25 minutes later, Casey goes, he hit another one. How did he hit another one? It was like the seventh inning when he hit 49.
Ugh.
He hit three home runs in a span of 60 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Three home runs, runs, 10 RBIs, 6 for 6. It is the most incredible exclamation point we have ever seen on a conversation about whether this young man could potentially be one of the greatest we've ever seen or the greatest we've ever seen.
Yeah.
An absolutely mind-blowing stat line.
Yeah, it was, like you said it perfectly, it was one of the great exclamation points we've ever seen in one of those moments. You know what I mean? That was insane. 6 for 6, 10 RBIs?
Yeah, crazy.
Come
absolutely
on, man.
Crazy.
Come on, that guy.
Double-digit RBIs is nuts.
That guy is... He's already one of the best we've ever seen.
6 hits, already. 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs. That's someone's week.
Facts. 100%.
That was damn near an hour. Absolutely crazy, man.
Yeah, he...
Well, Dave Garcia says Shohei is Arabic for goat. So thank you, Dave Garcia, for that one. I think he's correct.
Nah, he's... That guy's special.
He is.
Absolutely special. One of the greatest we've ever seen and we ever will see. Just right now, like in the middle of his career, I know I'm not going to see anybody, if I've ever seen anybody, like Shohei Ohtani.
You know, we'll talk more about this later. It's hard to kind of dive into something here at the start of the show because there's just so many things we just like to cover. We'll have another conversation about Shohei Ohtani. And it, you know, kind of the juxtaposition with what I watched that night. You know, Diana Taurasi, the Mercury got their ass kicked, but that wasn't, it didn't matter. Like, that game didn't mean anything. The idea that she might have played her last home game and thinking about the GOATs, like Diana's title is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. She hates it, but that is her title. That's what they call her. That's how Phoenix markets everything for her. She is the GOAT. And it conjured up some interesting, I think it could create an interesting conversation here. It certainly created some interesting emotions for me last night watching Diana, who's been my favorite player in the W, one of my favorite players, period, for a very, very long time. We'll never, ever forget my first interaction with Diana Taurasi. Absolutely love her. Just love her to no end. Hate Aaron Rodgers and hate that stupid ass love fest that took place yesterday for 3 hours. So let me get this straight. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is cooked. I saw the tweets. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is back. Look, we do what we do. Either all of you are going to be wrong or I'm going to be wrong. And it ain't going to be me, because y'all are drooling over this stupid ass performance from him last night while just ignoring the fact that he played the second, maybe the first, I think the second worst team in professional football. Did he move better? Sure. Did he throw the first touchdown pass to a first round pick wide receiver? Dude, who cares? Like, what did that even mean? It was just a nonstop love fest of this goof all night long. Okay. All right. So we're all back. Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers MVP candidate, is back. Okay. Like I said, when it's time for me to say I'm wrong, I'll come in here and say I'm wrong. I ain't doing it yet. One of us going to be wrong. All of them or me. Well, it ain't going to be me.
Well,
it ain't going to be me.
I think two things can equally be wrong. He's not the MVP candidate. Aaron Rodgers is not back. He's not back.
250 yards.
Is he gonna be a bum this year? I don't know about that.
He's a bum every year.
Well, he's a bum individual. Is he a bum quarterback this year? I don't know. That if he can replicate that performance throughout the year, I think they're gonna win a good number of games. And that wasn't a great performance.
It was fine. He did what he had to do against a bad football team.
Yeah.
It's fine. He did move better yesterday. I said that to you in real time. Like, he already looks better than he did against the 49ers. But he ain't getting moved around like he was against the 49ers. I ain't see Nick Bosa over there.
Yeah.
Fred Warner out there?
No.
I ain't see him?
No.
Okay. No. All right. New England stinks.
New England is really bad on the offensive end.
I think Buffalo's defense is a little bit better than you give it credit for. And I think he's going to be challenged by Buffalo on that side of the ball a little bit.
He might be. I would expect him to. The Buffalo's a better team than New England.
I really hope he plays Myles Garrett once. let me check the Jets. I do not like that, man. And then that stupid video circulates of him and Bob.
Him being a jackass.
And I don't know what it was.
Did he ever talk about that?
He did. And it checks out, I guess. He said they talk about 2-score leads or something like that, and how that's not, you don't get excited over 2-score leads. And he said he's like, Bob doesn't really hug. He did somebody said, but he's like, he doesn't really hug that way. So it kind of threw him off. And then he does the hands to the chest thing a lot. So when Rodgers said it and he said the 2-score lead thing, and I go back and watch it again, it looks like that's what Aaron Rodgers says. It looks like he pushes Bob back and says 2-score lead and walks away.
Why does he look like that?
Because he's a jackass, Kenny.
Why does he just perpetuate?
He's a jackass.
What they say, RBF for some of these women. He just has that RJAF.
Resting jackass face.
That's what he's. Is that what he always has?
He's got a resting jackass face.
Because why do you have to look at him like that?
I don't know.
I think about if I'm in a good mood with a coach or a teammate or something like that, and we're like, did something good, and 2-score, I would have been like, 2-score, let's go. Like, I would have been there. I wouldn't have been like, 2-score, looking like a dumbass.
Well, is it resting dumbass face or resting jackass
face? Take
your pick. Because we need to register one of these.
RJAF.
Does not roll off the tongue at all.
RJAF. Aaron Rodgers with the resting jackass face.
Hey, man, I won't mention this guy's name. I'll give him his initials. OJ.
That's what it sounds like right there.
That's still a classic. I won't mention his name. I'll just give you his initial.
I wonder if we'll ever know who Mitch was talking about that day.
The man's name is initials.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, I thought he was whatever. Like he was whatever. Like he was solid.
He did all that he had to do.
If he's that, I think they're a playoff
team. They got the Broncos next.
Should handle business at home on a mini bye.
They're at Minnesota.
Ah, but they aren't really at Minnesota. That is going to be
good
in
call.
London.
Yep, it sure is. Yeah. 6:30 a.m. Yeah. Buffalo. That's a Monday night. Jesus Christ. How many primetime games do they have?
Don't they have like six.
They got Buffalo in primetime. They got Pittsburgh in primetime. They got Houston in primetime. They got Indianapolis in primetime. That's it. Their primetime games end at week 11.
Well, because they didn't know how long Rodgers was going to last.
Solid point.
So they got, I think they got all five in the first half of the season.
Facts. Yep. All five before their week 12 bye. We are just getting started. We're happy that you're here with us. Kyle Mattson is here with us, too. He's going to join us next when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, don't they give you that for being one of the high rollers this Sky River?
Yeah, I'm not a high roller. Not.
Well, why did Carrie keep taking us to the high roller rooms then?
Because it was media night.
I don't think so. I don't think Mark S. Allen got in there. Pretty sure it was just you, pal.
That's my goal. Now, see, what you have to do is you got to make enough money to lose enough money to be able to be one of the high. And when they get the hotel, I got to be one of the Sky River Club members.
Are you not a member yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, they don't have a hotel or anything. But like my aunt and everything, she's like, oh, yeah, such and such place in Tahoe. They send me rooms all the time. Just let me know. I'll get you one. Like,
Auntie Wanda?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Just let me know next time you're in Tahoe. I got you. Da, 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 da. That's what I need to do.
Hmm.
How much money do I have to lose for them to do that?
I don't know. Ask
Vegas, the Vegas people. Oh no, you come here to the Aria. We got a room for you. Just come through. They must know how much.
I think you have to lose the equivalent of three of your T-shirts.
Mitchell and Ness. What are you talking?
Oh, that's like I know how much that costs too.
Well, no, don't do this. It's a swingman version. Don't do that. Swingman version. Although I ain't gonna lie to you, I did make a purchase that was like.
You don't have to preface this. We know. Like I don't know why you do this.
This one's going to hit a little bit. This one's going to hit a little bit.
Okay.
I'd do that.
Is that why you're taking Monday off to make up for the purchase that you just made?
Yeah, to go to my other job. I got four jobs I got after this one. I need anybody hiring? Anybody hiring? Third shift. I'm ready.
This bro UPS. Acts like he doesn't do this every day. That's fine.
But now you probably lose what, 3,000 for them to send you a room to comp you a room and stuff.
I that's not a world I'm ever.
I have literally no idea.
None.
It's not how much you lose. It's not how much you lose. It's just how much you spend. So it's not like there's a formula they're doing where they went, oh, that guy hit a jackpot. We don't need to.
Well, I think it's also if you won like $100,000, they'll comp you nights because they don't want you to leave.
Mm. Yeah.
Keep spending it. Let us get as much as that $100,000.
Yeah, that hotel's paid for itself long, long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they know we'll get it back one way or another.
This is a good question. Does Casey literally just shop online when he's not working? Well, Soren, sometimes he does it when he's working.
Well, I'm not going to lie. It happens. It happens, not often, but it happens.
I'm over here. I got four Pro Football Focus tabs up. I go to get some juice. I come back. He's buying $800 shorts.
Not this show. 125.
Well, that's true. It's true.
125. I have too much time on my hands sometimes.
When I was in
20 seconds, Kenny. 20 seconds. Let's cook.
When I was in college, there's this girl like two rows in front of me, and she's online shopping the whole class. 50 minutes of her just on Amazon and wherever else looking at spoons and all the other weird stuff she's looking at. We get to the end. There's like 20 minutes left in class, and the professor does a thing that's like, don't really have anything else for you, so unless anybody has any questions, we can go. This woman raises her hand.
No.
Oh!
Why?
Because she had a question that she missed because she was shopping.
Yeah, well, just chalk it up, lady.
That's what I'm saying. Go to the professor after everybody leaves and go, hey, I miss this. I was so angry.
Wow.
Because I knew she was shopping.
Wow. That reminds me, and this is going to be a weird segue and a reminder. Have either one of you guys watched Aaron Hernandez yet? Are you going
to
watch
it? Yeah,
that
is weird. Absolutely. These two things have nothing to do with one another.
Have I watched Aaron Hernandez play football before? Yes.
There's a scene in there where he's in high school and he's not paying attention, and his future wife or whatever she is, she, like, the teacher calls on him and he doesn't know what to say, and she, like, gives him the answer. That's the lady not paying attention reminded me of that. But have you guys watched?
No.
No.
I don't think she went the way
of Aaron Hernandez either.
I'm trying to get my way through Power.
Thank God.
I haven't even started that.
We just watched Power's Perfect Couple on Netflix. Two thumbs down. Nicole Kidman, Liev Schreiber. That's fine.
I don't think that would cross.
No, it doesn't cross your purview, no doubt. But we went because in the trailer makes it look like it's this like cultish type family, and then somebody gets murdered and they're hiding it and da da da. Turns out that's not what happens at all. Oh. Waste of 6 hours of our
TV
lives.
Show.
6 hours.
Yeah, it's six. It's a mini series. Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out Nicole Kidman. I like Nicole Kidman. Who's this? This guy looks familiar.
Maybe she'll be there with her husband.
Liev Schreiber. You know who that
Schreiber.
Is? Schreiber.
Yeah.
Where I know him from? He looks
X Men. Or Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
I love that you look to me. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know, man.
Looked at me for an assist. Like, buddy, you're drowning. I don't have a life raft.
Yeah, him and Nicole Kidman, I know them.
Oh, anybody? He's also the voice of Hard Knocks.
I hadn't watched Hard Knocks in a couple years. I didn't know that.
Okay. Hey, Sabretooth and X-Men, according to Matt.
Hmm. Ray Donovan. Maybe that's what I know him from, yeah. I haven't watched that show, but I know Ray Donovan.
It's a good show.
Yeah. I heard.
It's a good show. Kyle Madsen of the Insiders and Candlestick Chronicles with us.
I'm sorry. Because somebody in the chat. You know who makes an appearance in Hernandez's show?
No. No.
No, not for real, but just the guy who played it. Irvin's on the screen.
Hmm.
The guy kind of reminds me of Urban
Meyer. Oh, yeah.
In the way he
talks, he would have to be. Like, that was his college coach.
Yeah, but the way he talks and it just it was like, that's a good Urban
Meyer.
Which
one's
right
this? There. This is the OJ people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It actually looks like, I've only seen one episode. I think there's two that are out. But it's a fine show. Hmm. Like, they did all right with it. It's not comedic, like Clipped or anything like that. Like,
well, I would hope not.
Unintentionally
well,
comedic.
Well, also, Clipped wasn't entirely comedic.
It wasn't supposed to be.
The first two episodes were pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then the whole racism thing happened, and it was like, yeah, this isn't funny anymore.
No. Aaron Hernandez's show isn't that.
Austin Rivers reacting to the guy playing him on his podcast was really funny.
I haven't seen that.
Highly recommend going and listening to that.
I don't think I saw that. I saw a few people react. I think I saw DeAndre, maybe.
Yeah.
I saw a few people react to it. DeAndre was like, I don't know what this is all about. Like, yeah. I've never done any
he's
of
like,
this
he's
stuff.
Like, he's like, the guy does look like me. He's like, the guy definitely looks like me that did a good job casting, but I would never wear that because it's like a button-up shirt with a sweater over it, like tucked in with khakis.
I think it's always a reminder when you're watching something that you know like a little bit about. Like I told you, I was watching Fight Night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're really making this like some wholesome guys are just trying to figure life out. And it's like, this is not what this was at all. Like, this was a massive armed heist where everybody involved except Chicken Man was murdered at the end.
Yes. And I didn't even read or listen to the whole podcast, but I got the gist and you told me kind of what the gist was too. And then when I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
The music behind the trailer, I was like,
this is not it.
I wonder how they're going to turn this into...
Unless Samuel L. Jackson murders everyone on the screen, this is nothing even close to the story.
Which is always liable to happen.
It is, but it's possible. I haven't gotten that far yet. Maybe he does, in fact, murder everybody. But anytime you see Kevin Hart, you know there's going to be some ha-has in it. And
I'm all... This Aaron Hernandez show reminded me... It reminded me... I'm kind of, maybe I'm in the minority. I'm all in on sports little miniseries.
thought that you were going to say, I am all in on sports. Like, yeah, me too, man.
Well, good.
We're here.
give me more of these. Give me more of these. Now, they don't have to
you
be.
You want to replace the documentary with the documentary?
Yeah. I like it. Right. Between that, Clipped, obviously was, Winning Time.
But wait a second. Clipped was bad. Clipped wasn't good.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it.
Doc was throwing oranges at a wall for no reason. Has anyone asked Doc? Where's Doc? Milwaukee. If some
might
person in Milwaukee doesn't say, Doc, did you throw oranges at a wall in Los Angeles?
I mean, they took some liberties. I'm not going to lie. They took some liberties, but I do remember the time. I was very upset, and you know, I was talking to my dad about the riots, and I was upset, and you know, it did cross my mind.
Doc,
it crossed my mind. I didn't actually think I did it, but it crossed my mind.
Doc, go ahead.
Did you just learn that your wife was white?
Well, no. I wish you'd tell the whole story, and I wish they'd tell the whole story about that. Did I know my wife was white? Yes. Did I really realize that when the riots happened? Yes.
Can you imagine someone tuning into this show just stumbling across the dials for the first time and this is what you get?
I hope that somebody's tuning in and they're like, oh, Doc Rivers is on this show. You did that, though.
I'm a goddamn broadcast journalist and have been doing this for 2 decades. I was trying to have a conversation here saying that someone in Milwaukee needs to ask Doc Rivers, the real Doc Rivers, if he threw oranges at a wall or wore his warm-up jacket to the convenience store. And he took that as a cue to let me get my stuff off here on a Friday.
Well,
I work with children.
It's understanding the audience. So. You got to know he's going to pick it up and run with it.
I got to play the hits, too. I got to play the hits, man. Drew Down, at some point, Jerry Jones will come to the show. I promise you that at some point today.
4,000 degrees in here. I got impressions over here. I'm trying to get to a goddamn Kittle question, and I can't get to it.
Maybe
whatever's
I'm
on the rundown about Cowboys Ravens, just get rid of it. Don't, because just
at this point, well, that's a good point.
Take it out.
I got you.
Whatever you got.
Well, that's a good point.
Real talk, did CD practice yet?
Moving on. Just don't engage. Don't engage about the Cowboys.
It's a good call. Just ignore it.
No, Jerry Jones. Did CD, because I want to know. No, Jerry Jones. Did CD come back yet to practice?
I don't actually know. Mm. I saw update. I was getting some updates. Like the latest one I got was Joe Mixon. It doesn't look like Joe's going to play.
He might be a weekend. Couple weeks.
But most importantly, I don't think I can completely scrap
CD,
the Ravens.
CD Lamb said his ankle was just sore on Wednesday, so he took a day off, but he's good.
Okay. Did he practice yesterday?
I don't know if he practiced, but he said he took Wednesday off, so okay. I'd assume he was back.
Okay. Kittle.
Yes.
Do we have an update? Has Kyle spoken yet today?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to stay off Twitter while I'm doing radio hits.
Well, that can
weird.
Actually
radio hit. That's not what while I'm appearing on your guys' show.
We don't do that stuff here. We just talk. We're just family.
No, that's let me. I don't see anything yet.
My stupid
it's
ass
gotta
would
be,
look
it's
to
gotta
see.
Be soon.
I would look to see when's Kyle talking today. Oh no, that's the wrong time. And Jesse would find it on Twitter. So it looks like he's due to talk. From my dumb logic of going to the 49ers media page that we're supposed to rely on, he's due to speak at 1:35.
That's so perfect for me. Wow, I love that.
Kittle thing came out of nowhere?
Yeah. Kittle and Treverius Ward.
Treverius Ward, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were, because on Wednesday, it was, hey, Debo Samuel's not practicing as expected. Everybody else a full go.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right, injury stuff is stabilizing. They got to get through the couple weeks without Debo, but they're in a good spot. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, George Kittle not practicing. He's got a hamstring. He's probably not going to play Sunday. Oh, yeah, also Treverius Ward got a knee and a hamstring. That's going to be a problem, too. Sure, man.
Goodness gracious.
Out of nowhere.
Man.
When is – okay. I know we're having fun. I'm asking a genuine question.
Yeah.
At what point, like – okay, now there's like, is one injury just like too many? At what point do we hit the tipping point?
I think we're probably close.
So for me, because I feel like I had an answer to this. Give me Trent and Brock, obviously. Give me Trent and Brock and give me Fred Warner. And if I feel like you can work with everything else, losing Kittle, Debo, and Christian McCaffrey is pretty damn tough.
That's tough, no doubt.
But I'm still comfortable working with it. If you gave me Kittle and took Trent, I'd hate the 49ers' chances.
Yeah, no,
weekend.
No, same. The one I don't disagree with anything you really said. The one, I guess, pushback I have is Nick Bosa has to be included in that. They're just not deep enough on the edge. Fair enough. They can't rush the passer with Nick Bosa. Mm. Without him, it'd be ugly. So that's the other one.
Fair enough.
But offensively, they got plenty.
Yeah, this game has turned into a JWTDG game. Just win the damn game.
What is with you today?
Also, you said
what the hell is with you?
That's a JWTDG.
Look, you can't even keep
TDG. He was finishing it.
Yeah, he said TGG game.
TDG.
It's like ATM machine.
JW, run that back.
JWTDG.
JWTDG. Yeah, JWTDG.
Just win the damn game.
So this is what you're doing.
It's all that matters.
Now, huh? Hey, I'm always going to be your guys' hype man, bro.
What you're doing.
I'm always going to be your, you guys something, I'll hype you up too.
Okay. He's always going to be your guys' HM.
Just win the damn game. That's all that matters.
This is like Kevin in the office trying to make stuff quicker so it's just more efficient.
Why use Lot World?
Wait, words do job. You're not even close, guy. Oh. You're not even close.
Damn, I was hoping it was...
Jim hasn't even left for Stanford yet, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. Are you watching any episodes?
No, he's not. I'm in season two. You've been in season... All right, I'm not doing this. We're talking about the 49ers. With all that said,
Just win the game. I don't care how anybody looks.
The Rams are missing a ton of guys, too.
The Rams are more hurt than the Niners.
Right, and it feels like even if you take Kittle out, that's still true.
I would agree with you. That's where none of this, that's why we talked about this at the top of the show today on the Insiders with Jesse Tapia and for James Hamm. Did a great job this week. That's why I don't like, the injuries matter for sure. The Niners aren't going to be as good as they were last year, but they're still fine, or they should be. The Rams are so beat up, dude. Yeah. The Rams have six guys already on IR who they plan on having returned. Eight is your maximum for a year. And they have six dudes there already in week three. Cooper Kupp should go there, but they're not going to because they're so up against it with returning guys from IR.
Yeah, don't they have? Aren't they running out of IR spots?
Yes, that's literally, you can return eight guys.
Yeah,
they have six with return designations already. That's why they're not putting Cooper Kupp there because they're like, we can't do this again. We might like need it later in the year. They are so up against it injury wise that even with all the Niners injuries. As important as Treverius Warden is, as important as George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey are, like, no doubt, but those guys are so important to their chances to win a Super Bowl. Those guys are less important in the context of facing the preseason week three version of the Rams.
And even with all that said, my antennas are up for the Rams. It's the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
They got embarrassed last week. And there's a level of pride that I think Sean McVay and his team is going to have in this game. I think you're going to get whatever that looks like. It may be something where you still beat them by three touchdowns. I'm not predicting. I'm just saying. But whatever it is, you're getting the best Los Angeles Rams that they have right now. Like, you're getting their attention. You're getting their full effort. You're getting their full energy that they have. And the 49ers need to be ready for that. They need to be ready. They need to prepare and get their mind to a point where this is going to be a tough game.
If that, I don't disagree. But if that's a problem after you got your face mushed last week, I think there's a way bigger problem than injury stuff. Like, because the Rams got embarrassed last week, the Niners kind of did too.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't think they got embarrassed. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask them to elaborate.
They haven't won in Minnesota since 1992.
Well, that's weird.
You give up a 97-yard touchdown. No. You turn the ball over twice. You let Sam Darnold get 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 8 late in the game.
What happened to the 49ers is not what happened to the Rams.
No doubt. Totally different games, for sure. But I don't think the Niners are in a position, or I'm less concerned about the Niners being in a position where they're going, all right, well, it's just the Rams. We can overlook that. Like, no, they got to lock in. And well, I think losing last week assists in that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I look at this. I'm approaching this game where, man, I don't even really care what's going on with the Rams. I think this is going to be a tough game. And it's not an indictment on who the Niners are if this is a close game. Not for me. It's just I look at we've watched sports our whole lives, and we see that, like, it should be,
yeah,
hey, handle business. This team is beat up. Mm-hmm. And it's the one of the things – sorry. The wounded dog, the wounded animal is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to get with the Rams on Sunday. I'm expecting a tight game, at least for most of the time.
But are maybe the 49ers wounded?
They are. Oh. They are. But to Kyle's point, though, their wounded is still pretty good.
I think you asked about the tipping point with the Niners. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams have reached a tipping point. The Rams have reached too many injuries.
Yeah.
That's why that was part of the reason they lost to Detroit, and it was a huge reason they got smoked by Arizona last week.
Like they can't recover?
Yeah, they're down too many players.
Sure, okay.
At some point when you're...
Get hot at me about it.
You know what? No, they're just down too many guys, yeah. And you're leaning too heavily on your third and fourth receivers to be your first and second receivers, and you're on backup offensive linemen and rookie centers starting for the first... It just... The Rams are... If the 49... If flip the injury situations... It would be like, I don't know how the Niners do this.
Yeah.
Whereas the Rams going in, or with the Niners going in with the situations as they are, I'm with you, Kenny. I don't think they're going to beat them by 30. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy like that. But the Niners are the better team. They should win. Yeah. Even with their injury issues.
I agree.
Where I'll ask both of you guys this. Where do you guys fall on some of the the comments and the analysis going on now where now, Brock is.
Well,
it's up to you to show.
Well,
what you're really made of.
Is that wrong?
Yes, it's wrong.
Why?
Because he's not playing with no starters.
He's playing with a regular NFL offense. What does the Niners offense look like in 5 years? Is no Christian McCaffrey? Is no Debo Samuel? Is probably no George Kittle? Is Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy?
And all you have to do is do what you've been doing.
You have a number two wide receiver. Average NFL tight end.
Do what you've been doing. You don't have to carry this team. You don't have to throw for 390. If you throw for 212 and you manage the game like you did in week one, that's perfectly fine. It's the same thing that you can do with good people there, and with not.
That's exactly. But that's exactly you. I agree with you. Mm. We're in the same space. He has to be the quarterback that he has always been in this situation, or with four All Pros. Like the efficiency is not going to be as good because they just don't have as good of players. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, you saw the same thing happen with Patrick Mahomes. You lose Tyreek Hill, the passing offense looks different, right? Like that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But can he continue to be a high level quarterback in a situation where defenses aren't worried about Debo Samuel in motion and Christian McCaffrey split out wide and oh my God, heads are spinning and there's George Kittle wide open? Can you continue to operate when your offense looks more like a normal NFL offense? That's going to be that's still a massive question mark with Brock Purdy that he's going to get a chance to answer. I think he will. Mm-hmm. But if he goes out and really struggles in these couple of games without Debo, I think it's perfectly fair to have questions about him.
Mm. No?
Not necessarily.
You say he's top five.
Yeah.
So they should have no problem
top
with
five
an all
seven.
Pro.
5-7, I always say that.
With an all pro, with an all pro wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You have the best play caller and play designer in the game. You have the running back who is second in the league in rushing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You have Juwan Jennings, who's a quality number two in this spot. Like, they should be fine.
Yes, I think they should be. But we're also gonna keep that same energy, because when it looked like Juwan Jennings was gonna be the number two wide receiver when Ayuk was holding out, they might trade him. And everybody said that wasn't good enough.
Not for a full season.
Okay. Well, I don't think you can learn anything. You ain't going to have no type of tag or anything that you could put on Brock Purdy after one game. And I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying, like, people saying this game is going to prove one or the other. It ain't going to prove neither one. Like, if he lights it up and has 350, I'm not going to be like, I told you. Like, it's going to be like, he had a good game. We move to the next one. If he has a bad game, it's not, I told you, he had a bad game. Let's move on to the next
one. It's the stretch of games for me. It's not about Sunday. If Debo's out the next two or three, what does that look like?
I just see people talking about Sunday. That's kind of what I was referring to. But I agree to you. I agree with you that it's a stretch of games that you could look at. I still think, and me and Damian talked about this the other day, I still think there's almost no scenario where he doesn't get the money that he deserves or looking for this year. There's no the Niners are in a position. Yeah, the Niners are in a position where you re-sign him.
Yeah, I think so. I think the dollar figure, though, is different.
Mm.
I think if he goes out and plays, if he's an MVP candidate again, if he picks it up here in week three and is just awesome the rest of the way and 9 yards an attempt and a bunch of touchdowns and not that many interceptions and 4,500 yards or whatever it is, if that's just what he does the rest of the year, then yeah, for sure. But if he struggles really bad here without Debo, and if he continues to not be as efficient without Christian McCaffrey, where you can go, man, there's a really good sample size that Brock Purdy minus Christian McCaffrey is just not the quarterback that we want to pay at the top of the market.
But, like, what do you mean by that? Like, because it feels like for the scenario that you're laying out, he'd have to be bad. Like, is that what you're suggesting? Like, without the Christian McCaffrey, Debo, he's a bad quarterback?
No, because I don't think he's bad. But I think it would. I think there would be some. I think there would. I don't know if that.
Let me ask you this.
I gotta separate what I think and what I think the Niners think. The Niners are probably paying him, but
okay. Well, what do you think?
I think if he struggles without Debo Samuel and if he never quite hits his stride without Christian McCaffrey, then I have a really hard time being like, yeah, you're gonna pay that guy $60+ million a year because you don't have. You don't know that he can operate without four all pros around him on offense.
I mean, real quick, are you good? Can we keep going?
I'm at the Rivercats game tonight, so I'm chilling.
Nice. Okay, very good.
So I want to ask if he plays.
Are you hitting? Sorry, go ahead.
No, okay. I'm representing KSFM.
Well, you pitched
though.
Last time. That's terrific.
Yeah, I brought my shirt and everything.
That's terrific. Not my like God. Us.
No, it's my old God. One.
Right, we'll get you a new one.
I have a new one. I just didn't bring
Brock. Brock Purdy plays. Brock Purdy plays like he played in these first 2 weeks for the whole season. Both the highs and the lows. Both, is that enough to pay him what he's looking for?
For the Niners, it will be.
For you?
I'd have questions.
So for you would hesitate on paying him that type of money after what? Like if he plays, like even like
yeah,
because
I think if he plays, the way he has the first couple of weeks, I think if he plays that way the entire year, I think you're looking at a team that's going on the road in the playoffs. And I don't think you're probably making a deep playoff run. But, like, at the same time, to your guys' point, you're going to pay your quarterback unless he sucks. And I don't think Brock sucks. So,
and there's quarterbacks who have done less than that.
Yeah, dudes are going to get paid. Yeah, so I would just continue to have questions personally.
It's interesting. He was an MVP candidate last year, just like Dak was. This is Dak's second big contract. We're talking about a very, very young quarterback receiving their first contract extension. The money is different, but it's really, to me, not that different than an NBA player coming off of their rookie contract going into their first extension.
Sure.
There's very, and there is, don't get me wrong, but there's very little, it's almost like boom or bust in that. Like we're paying him a max extension or we're just letting him go. There's a fine medium with some guys, but I feel like it really leans heavily towards one or the other. We were talking about this with Keegan earlier this summer. And with Brock, like we're talking about a third-year quarterback. Like the market dictates, he could stink this year. You're going to sign him, and you're probably going to sign him to the top of the market contract because that's how this all works.
Is he the?
You can argue whether the system is flawed or not.
Sure,
but that's pretty much how this works.
Outside of C.J. Stroud, is he the youngest of the quote-unquote top flight? Like, let's take the top 15 quarterbacks.
How old is Trevor Lawrence?
And when I mean youngest, I mean experienced.
Like, to me, Trevor Lawrence is not in this conversation.
I'm saying years of experience as well. Did he get drafted the same year as Trevor Lawrence or the year after?
Year after.
I think it was
the same age, by the way.
So he's in his third season, like you said. Yeah, that's that. I mean, like,
yeah,
when you
loves 25.
When you talked about third season like that, it does hit a little different because we're comparing him to the Dax,
mm-hmm.
the Mahomes, mm-hmm. the Lamar. These guys have, for lack of a better term, they've seen everything in the NFL. Like they. Brock said he was a little confused mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. Brian Flores' defense on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't think Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Joe Burrow are going to get confused by a defense.
Right.
I say that saying they've seen it all.
Sure.
Like they've seen it. They've been around the league like at least two times now. Mm-hmm. They know the tendencies and all this other stuff. Brock, sure. This is first time going up against Brian Flores and what he does.
No, second time.
Second. Oh, Miami. Mm-hmm. Miami. Does, or no, he
no,
went
last
to Miami.
Year against what? Minnesota.
That's right. That's right.
But outside of CJ, isn't Brock probably the only quarterback of that age group in the top 10? I mean, I guess we could pick this thing
apart.
They try
to put Jordan Love in there, but he's not. Even Jordan Love has been sitting. What is his fifth year?
Yes.
He's been in the league.
He's Ayuk's draft class. So you're five.
This is kind of a weird question. Well, it's not weird. It's just they don't have to sign him, do they?
No.
I mean,
but also
his agent, and he should obviously fight for it.
Yeah. Do you want to run the risk of him, Brandon Ayuking you?
Have another summer of that.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where. So that's the other side of the coin.
So he has 2 years left.
Mm-hmm. They'll extension eligible this offseason.
They'll sign, tear the fifth year up. He'll play out a year for nothing but his current salary and his signing bonus.
So he doesn't get the fifth year because he wasn't in the first round.
Oh.
So he only gets to 4 years.
Got you.
He's in year three. He's extension eligible. Got he has one more year.
Got you.
My guess is the way they would structure it is his cap hit would be still super low next year.
Right.
And then they would get.
That's a major L because I remember that was the whole thing with Baltimore. Baltimore was brilliant for taking Lamar, as the last pick of the first round because they get the fifth year.
Yeah.
Does Brock have the most pressure, I guess, in this game to perform?
Yes. Without question. Yeah.
I need to see something from Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, Brandon.
I need to see a lot from Brandon Ayuk.
That to me is partly on Brock.
Hand in hand.
Yeah, because Brandon Ayuk was open. Brandon Ayuk was there. Brock just, I think because of A, what Brian Flores was doing defensively, B, some of the pressure he was under, it was just, get it to Debo. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in that short area, just get it to him, and you saw why. Debo made some really nice, tough catches. Mm-hmm. But in this game against a defense that's not very good, I think it's on Brandon Ayuk, A, to get open, and then B, on Brock to find him.
I'd have no problem with Brandon Ayuk getting a little vocal. If he's not getting the ball, and this guy, I think there's a time and a place for it, but it's not the worst thing in the world if a receiver, go completely Scottie Pippen, but you're demanding that I'm supposed to be a certain guy. Let me be the guy.
Give me
the ball.
Get vocal with your coach and quarterback. I'd be very careful about taking that public.
I'm talking about on the sideline.
Yeah, no doubt.
On
no
the
doubt. And I would be
or
shocked.
In the huddle or something.
Don't Jamar Chase your helmet either.
No.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm talking on the sidelines, in the huddle. Get me the damn ball.
I'd be shocked if that's not happening in meetings during the week and in practice. Like, this is it, dude.
It comes from Kyle? Like, you just said, you definitively, he's open. You think they're looking at film like, Brock?
Yeah, and I think Brock's going to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
I just that Vikings game I think is going to be a little bit of an outlier just because of what they did defensively. Like Brock seeked out Brian Flores and was like, "Dang, you got me." Yeah. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to be hella involved on Sunday. You can write that down.
Hella involved.
That's an analytic I made up.
I'm also that game was like kind of I don't know. Maybe I looked at it a different way. It's kind of weird because I agree. Kyle said something at the half that I agree with, and I think the numbers point that out. They moved the ball. They didn't make the plays they needed to make at the time. Like, they moved the ball all the way down the field, get to this 2-yard line, fourth and goal. They get no points out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving the ball down the field a little bit, and Brock loses the ball in a fumble. They were doing some good things. They just didn't make the winning plays to take them over the hump. So I say all that to say, I don't know if, and I'm not saying you or anybody else is doing this, but I don't know if there needs to be a big overreaction to the 49ers offense or Brock Purdy or even Brandon Ayuk to a certain degree, because things seem to be working. They just have to hone in a little bit more on the execution in the critical times.
So this is one of the biggest, we can talk third downs, we can talk red zone, we can talk all that. The Niners are missing explosive plays. Their two touchdown drives against, well, they had the 15 plays, 83 yards where they get stopped on fourth and two. So that would have been a 15 play, a 85 yard drive that they needed to get a touchdown. Their other touchdown drive, 5 for 65 after the Fred Warner interception, gave him the ball at their own 35. So they go 5 for 65 there. And their other touchdown drive was 12 plays, 84 yards, 99 net yards they had to go. Those quick strike, like three play, four play drives just aren't there right now. And that's because that's where the Christian McCaffrey injury comes in. That's where Deebo Samuel being banged up comes in. That's where George Kittle being out is going to come in. That's why you mentioned Jacob Cowing earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a player they try and get involved, because, dude, asking Brock Purdy or any quarterback, that's why the two high safety thing works so well. Because, like, Patrick Mahomes is less effective when Patrick Mahomes has got to be 12, 13, 14 plays where he's got to be so precise. You have to be perfect. You just talked execution. You have to be perfect for 14, 15 plays every time you have the ball. That's impossible for any offense.
My belief, especially I learned this with the Fangio 49ers and their defense and stuff like that. I still believe this. I say, if I got a good defense, you know, a really good defense, good to great defense, and I think Minnesota played well on Sunday. The jury's still out on what they actually are. But if I got a good to great defense, I dare you to go three times 80 yards for a touchdown. It's probably not going to happen. And what I mean by that is, if I don't turn the ball over on offense, if I don't give you short fields or anything else like that, you're not, if I got a good to great defense, you're not going up and down that field three times for 80 plus yards. Like, that ain't going, and scoring touchdowns. Maybe you'll kick some field goals and stuff like that, but you're not scoring three touchdowns and having 80 yard drives. And like, to your point, that's just really difficult to do. Especially against a really good defense.
You know what the Niners' longest play of the year is?
Oh, man. Like, oh,
34 yards to Kyle Juszczyk in week one. That long completion to Kyle Juszczyk. That's their only play over 30 yards all year.
Station to station. We can't have that. We need some home run plays.
Well, your home run hitters are out now.
Exactly.
This is true.
I mean, I guess I saw a friend of the show and friend of the Kyle, Nick Wagner, tweeted, Bosa was at practice. He was on the field, I should say, which I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, he didn't. Wasn't he not? Didn't he not practice yesterday?
He was limited yesterday.
And Charvarius Ward was. I didn't see anything about George Kittle. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something. Charvarius Ward was out there.
Kittle not spotted.
Not spotted at practice. Correct. Missed that. Okay. How big is a potential Ward absence?
It's massive. They can't rush the passer right now, man. So then you're starting Renardo Green, a rookie, against Sean McVay.
I think
McVay.
You made that name up.
No, that's a real person. Second round pick. Florida State.
FSU. You know, FSU is just cooking right now. You know that.
Oof. Shout out to the Calgarithm.
They lose this week. That's crazy.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I want it so bad.
I do too.
Yeah. It'd be a big deal, though.
It's compounding a problem they're already having.
Yes. Okay. I think you're going to see a big Nick Bosa game. I think you're going to see a big Nick Bosa game. I think you're going to see a big Javon Hargrave game. And I think Leonard Floyd bounce back. I think you're going to get a good Niners defensive
game. I hope we see a Hargrave game. We ain't seen one all in 2 years.
I know.
Man. Hey. JWT.
You can't even remember.
JWTGD.
What does that stand for again?
Just win the damn game.
All right.
Jeff Wilson.
Why do you make it so
taking dolphin?
This is the shortest distance between two, a straight line. Kenny, no. Let's go over here, circle around the block, come back over here.
You have to say just win the damn game in your head to get to JTWTG.
Let me tweet that out so everybody knows what time it is, man.
You're good. Yeah, tweet that out. That's high quality Twitter content right there. That's terrific. That's great. Jesus Christ.
49ers need to win this week per Kenny Caraway.
Well, that is, you're in here first. Take right there. CeeDee Lamb is off the injury report, according to Ian Rappaport, and A.J. Brown is officially, won't do that, A.J. Brown is officially out for the Eagles, so we'll get you caught up on everything going on with injuries and all of that stuff, and Kyle Shanahan due to speak to the media following practice today, which should be around 1:30, maybe a little bit after. Big thanks to Kyle Madsen of the Insiders and, of course, of Candlestick Chronicles and Niners Wire as well. We'll come back with more of D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.